We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Amen. Okay, so in the last few weeks, we've been looking at the book of Acts. We've been learning about the early church, how they function, and how they went about their life after the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been following the series closely, I think you'll agree with me that the early church was a mission-minded church. They were the type of people that prioritized God's mission, even to the point of imprisonment and death. They were the type of people that made room for mission. Now, when it comes to the matter of mission, for many Christians, there are so many questions up in the air. There's so many questions around this topic. It can be tough for some believers, and especially for new believers, to figure out what exactly are we meant to do? What does a missional lifestyle look like? Does it require that I pack my bags and I travel to third world countries, to remote places, and share the gospel? Is that the only definition of mission? Who is actually called to missional life? Is it everyone? Or is it an issue of some are called and some are not called? What if I'm not cut out for missional life? You know, what if I'm one of those people that I was like, okay, I heard the message, I want to receive Jesus, I want to accept Christ in my life, I want to have my sins forgiven, I want to have access to God, and I want to go to heaven when I die, but this business of mission, that's not what I signed for. What if, so there's many people who have these questions, and these are valid and important questions. These are questions that need real answers. For those of us, of course, who've done the SCC Life Trek discipleship process, you may be sitting and thinking, isn't this common knowledge? You know, it's easy to take this knowledge for granted, but not many believers are exposed to this knowledge. Not many believers know a lot about this topic. Now, in order for us to understand the truth about mission, we have to go to the source. Jesus Christ is the one who set the tone for the mission. So it only makes sense, of course, that we draw from the very words that the early church disciples themselves received to learn about the Christian mission. Our reading today comes from Matthew 28, 16 up to 20. So it starts from 16. It reads, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" You know, one of the things I like about our theme this year is that it's not a passive theme. You can see it at the top above me. It's not a passive theme. It demands that we take action. You know, we shouldn't actually be able to come in here on Sundays, listen to these messages, and go back to our new week and continue the same way. We should be coming here, and it should be that when we are exposed to the messages linked to this theme, we are challenged, we are inspired to go out there the following week and do something different. So this theme demands action. This theme is not passive. We loved Open Doors because Open Doors is God who opens doors. This theme demands that we actually take action. This theme is not passive. So I love this theme. Now, the title of today's message is make room for mission. Someone say demanding action. Okay. If you and I are to make room for mission, we need to have an understanding of just this one thing. What exactly is the mission? Our first point, we've just gone through, if you put the first point for me, thank you. We've just gone through a pandemic. In fact, we are still actually in it, which is obviously why I'm following the guidelines, drinking water. We have all seen how government and medical bodies come together to work producing vaccines to fight against a virus that is killing thousands by the day. There was a sense of urgency, and a vaccine had to be produced. And once this vaccine was produced and approved, there was one mission before our world leaders, and that mission was to get this vaccine out to as many people as possible to save lives. Now, whether you and I believe in the vaccine or not, that didn't affect the mission. That didn't matter. The mission was to get as many vaccines out there as possible to save lives. There was campaign after campaign. There was testimony after testimony. The BBC was sharp on that. There was daily national briefings, all aimed at understanding this, getting people to understand the seriousness of the virus and encourage people to receive the vaccines. Now, please don't misquote me. I'm not here. I'm not standing in front here just to give you my opinion on the vaccine or vaccination. I'm not here to debate, to argue for or against the vaccine. That is not my message today. What I'm simply doing is I'm drawing parallels, and you will see it as we go by. Since the fall in Genesis 3, humanity has been living with a virus that is even more deadlier than COVID-19. This virus is called sin. You see, this virus has the ability to eternally separate you from life with God. Just like COVID, some people think this sin virus is a hoax, and some of us take it seriously. Now, what I can tell you is that the sin virus is very real. What I can tell you is that the sin virus leads to death in our relationship with God. And I can also tell you that there is only one vaccine that has been prescribed, one vaccine that can successfully cure you, one vaccine that can take you off the course of sin leading to death and put you on track to repentance leading to life. Let me put it this way. Heaven was so serious about this virus that Jesus stepped out from eternity. Jesus stepped out from eternity, became a man on a mission to overcome this virus. That's how serious heaven was about this, so that sinners like us can be free from the stronghold of this virus, and that it will no longer have the power to drag us to damnation. Taking this from Romans 6:6, it reads, "We know that our old selves was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin." Jesus came on a mission to set us free from the power of sin. And when he had done so, he tasked his disciples to go out and prescribe and distribute the vaccine. Church, our mission as disciples is to go out into the nations, preach and teach the good news, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey the commandments of Christ. That is our mission, regardless of whether those we are being sent to believe in this sin virus or not. That still remains our mission. We learned last week that God has placed us as roadblocks as warning signs in the world. Our duty is to alert people that any path to God that isn't the one prescribed and provided by Jesus leads to death. That is the truth. All other paths lead to emptiness. That is the truth. If we consider ourselves as disciples of Christ, we need to make room for mission. Point number two, our mission is not optional. Now, who is assigned to mission? Very important question. There's beliefs that there's some that believe that the things that Jesus spoke to the disciples were just for them at that time. There's people that believe that Jesus would have spoke something and that was for the 11 at that time. It wasn't for you and me, it was for them. The assignments, the words, the tasks, and the things he said were just for that those 11. There's also some that believe that missional life is a specialist role. It's not open to everyone. You need a specialist, you need a Ronaldo, a Messi. It's a specialist role. Sorry, non-football fans, I had to go there. But there's so many opinions on this matter, but what does the Bible actually say about this? We'll just go back to the text. You see, when you follow the text, you quickly learn that when it comes to missional lifestyle, mission is not like a work pack or a work benefit that you can tick on and tick off and say, I want it, I don't want it. We'll just follow the text and read it raw from the text. Now, it is true, if you can have the text on the screen for me, please, Matthew 28. It is true that Jesus first commands the 11 disciples, saying, go out to the nations, baptize them, and teach them to obey my commands. That is true. However, let's break it down. He says more. Jesus then tells them to teach them. He tells them to teach those that they are going to obey the commandments of Jesus. Now, why is this important? What am I trying to say here? You see, Jesus sends out the 11 and tells them, go to the nations, teach them A, B, C, and then teach them to obey the commands that I have given you. Now, we know when we read this text that the commandment go out is given to the disciples by Jesus. He's already commanded them to go out to the nations. So what then do we know? We know that when he's given them that commandment, he tells them, tell those that you take on and disciple to do what you are doing. So where does that leave us? Well, that leaves us in a place where the first 11 had to do what? Someone remind me. They had to do what? They had to do what? They had to go out. Are you with me today? They had to do what? They had to go out. And you and I today in the 21st century, we are to do? We are to go out. The mission still remains the same. You may hear theories on things have changed, but there is nothing in Scripture that supports this. There is no Scripture that distinguishes the level of responsibility in going out and says the further you are away from the first generation of the disciples, the less responsibilities you have to going out. The mission still remains the same, whether it was spoken to you as part of the first 11 or whether it is being spoken to you in 2088, the mission still remains the same. Now, it's safe to conclude that we're called to mission, just as the 11 were called. And I want us to have this in mind. God, in all his wisdom and might, has concluded the best and most effective channel to get this prescription out there to the nations is through you and I, those who follow him. I want you to think about this. The all-knowing God has decided, I will not send Gabriel. Angel Gabriel is fantastic at delivering messages. You know, we see him in the scripture, he delivers without any fail, but God in all his wisdom doesn't send Angel Gabriel. He doesn't send other angels. He doesn't send an army of, you know, heavenly host and say, go spread this message. No, he looks at you, he looks at me, and he says, that is the most effective, that is the best way to get this vaccine, this message out to the nations. And I think if you marinate on that and take that seriously, you come to the realization that when it comes to the issue of mission, it is not optional, because God has placed everything on it, on us doing as is actually commanded. Church, as disciples of Christ, we need to make room for mission in our life. This is not optional. Point number three, we are equipped for mission. When the disciples were assigned the mission, you can imagine at the time, this would have looked an impossible task. They were a minority. There was just a few number of them. They were taking out an offensive and a very direct message. We all know that the gospel is offensive to the carnal mind. They were sent to take out an offensive message in few numbers out into the world. And we also know that there were forces working against them. Therefore, hostility was assured. Now, how about us? When this mission was assigned to us, when it is assigned to us in the 21st century, what are the conditions? Are they any different? Well, the task still looks impossible, given that nowadays, whenever you say anything about God or religion, the world receives you with hostility. The message is still offensive. I mean, you only have to look at cancel culture. The moment I say things that people do not agree with, I'm canceled. The message is still the same. So I could stand here and say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if people don't like it, they'll put all effort to cancel that. They don't like what I said, but it doesn't change that is what we're meant to do. And also, we're still a minority. I don't know what stats you come across, I don't know what stats you read, but believe me, we are actually still a minority. There is really, in comparison to the whole world, there is not as much Bible-believing and you know, biblical-living Christians in the world. We are still a minority. So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say to you today that the challenges that the early church disciples faced are the same. We still have the same challenges, so there is no excuse to say that was spoken to them because of the time. It's the same. They had the same difficulties then that you have today. But guess what? We also then have the same promise that they were given at that time. The promise is still available to us as well. And what is that promise? Well, Jesus tells them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, as Christ's disciples, we're being sent to a spiritual battleground, a spiritual warfare. You see, the issue of who sent you, the issue of who has authority is very important. It is not a thing to take lightly when it comes to spiritual warfare. You see, whenever we tread out into nations going out in mission, there is going to be opposition. Spiritual battles are over territories. You are not just going to, think about it, you are not going to walk into my house, pick up my remote, put your own TV channel, go to my fridge, eat my steak that I've been waiting to eat, and think that there won't be opposition. So that is exactly what is happening here. So after the fall, there is spiritual principalities that have been set in certain territories. They've been at home. They've had Sky Sports One. They've been at home. And you are not going to walk in and just change the channel. You are not going to walk in and just snatch a soul and two and just for free, just like that, and go unopposed. That's not going to happen. There is going to be resistance. There is going to be opposition. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a warfare. And we need to understand this. Ephesians 6:12 tells us we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So that is clear. There is always going to be opposition. But like I said earlier, why then does it matter who he's sending us out? Because the person who is sending us out is also the person who is equipping us. It matters who is sending us out. You see, if you are being sent out to a nation by Jesus, if you are being, we call God the Most High, if you are being sent out to nations by the person with the highest authority in all territories, heaven and earth, and if on your way there, or if while there, someone dares to oppose you, I can guarantee you the one who sent you on that mission will unleash all the force they have to their disposal to make sure that this mission succeeds, to make sure that this mission advances. Where am I getting that from? I've already mentioned earlier that heaven takes this matter so seriously that Jesus stepped out from eternity into our mortal life timeline to actually deal with this matter. So that tells you heaven dispatched the very best that they had to come and address this. So even as you go out into nations, even as you go out into territories, best be assured that yes, you will have opposition. Yes, you will have resistance. But also, you are not alone. You are not on your own. You have the very best of heaven's backing available at your disposal to assist you in the advancement of God's mission. You are equipped. You have been equipped for mission. Jesus promises us that as we go out to mission, he will be with us till the end of the age. Church, Jesus is dedicated to this mission. Now, the question for you and I today is, how about you and I? How are we treating this? Are we taking mission to the same seriousness as Jesus and heaven did? As we conclude this message today, I want us to have a few things in mind. God has given us the very best for this mission. Are you a disciple of Christ? Are you given to missional life? Will you step out and make room for mission? You may be sat here and saying, I hear all that you have said today, but how do I do that? You've been going on about this mission thing from the beginning, but how do I actually do that? What is the actual nuts and bolts of how I get involved in this? I want to say to you, mission isn't only you packing up your backpacks and going to some remote island somewhere. You can start mission right now, right here, from where you are. You see, church, there are as many people around us today that are unaware of the gift of God, that are unaware of the salvation of God, just as there is people unaware of that in the remote islands. So it makes sense that you start from where you are. You start from home. You start from your neighborhoods. You start from your offices. You start from where you are, because there is as many people right here, right now, who do not know the message of Jesus, who do not know the message of Christ. So mission starts from right where you are. And even as you go out, Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea, in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Church, you were chosen, you were predestined, you are empowered, you have every tool and every weapon that you need for the advancement of this mission at your disposal. If you want to step out today, if you want to make the decision today that from today onwards, I want to take a missional life seriously. I want to take mission seriously. I want to invite you. I want to pray with you. If you're one of those people who's gone through life thinking that mission is a specialist role, that has been thinking that mission is not for me, I can choose to have it or I can choose not to have it. We've seen it from the text. If you call yourself a disciple of Christ Jesus, that is not an option. You are called to mission. If you're set here today and you're thinking, I didn't even know about this. I didn't even know about this vaccine. I didn't know about this sin virus. I didn't know about this disease that has the ability to eternally separate me from life with God. And you feel like you want to respond to that. I want to encourage you. I want to pray with you. If we all stand up, we'll just pray. If stand up to pray if that resonates with you. If those points that I said resonate with you, I want to pray with you. And also before I do that, I want you to take a moment to speak to God for yourself. What did I start by saying at the beginning? This theme this year demands that we take action. I won't be able to take this action for you. I can pray for you, but it is your heart and it is you stepping out that is in control of that matter. So I just want you to take a moment, speak to God, and then I'll pray for you in closing. Heavenly Father, my Lord, Father, we just want to come before you, Father. Church, let's speak to God, church. Let's speak to God. He's already dispatched the very best of heaven. We need to take this matter seriously. We need to respond to him when it comes to the call of the mission. Thank you, Heavenly Father, my Lord. Father, we want to thank you, Almighty God, for your call. We want to thank you for your call to mission. Father, we want to thank you for your provision. Thank you, Almighty God, Father, that you have made every tool, every weapon accessible for us, Almighty God. Thank you, Mighty God. Thank you, Mighty God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you're here today and you are saying, I want to take a step today and take missional life seriously, lift up your hand for me. Okay. I'm just going to pray with you. Heavenly Father, my Lord, Father, you see the hands that are lifted up. My Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you in humbleness, Almighty God. Father, we come to you, Almighty God, in realization, Almighty God, that when it comes to mission, Father, this is an important area for you, Almighty God. This is an important calling in our lives. And Father, for the hands that are lifted up this morning, Father, we just want to pray, Almighty God, that from today, as they make the decision to take missional life seriously, Mighty God, Father, we just want to pray that may you empower them. Father, we just want to pray that may you reveal things to them about your mission. We want to pray that, Father, may you equip them. Father, we want to pray that, Father, you may light them up, Almighty God, even as they go into nations, even as they go, Almighty God, from right here, right now, where they are, in their families, in their neighborhoods, in their offices, from where they are, Almighty God. Father, may you set them ablaze, Almighty God. Father, we release the power of the Holy Spirit into their lives. Father, we pray, Almighty God, fan them into flame, Almighty God. We pray, Almighty God, the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit as they go out. And my Lord, we pray that even as they go out, they realize who has sent them out. And Almighty God, they realize that this battle is already won in the name of Jesus. If you're here and you're saying, I want to respond to the message of Jesus, I didn't know about the message of Christ. I didn't understand how severe it was when it comes to this virus of sin. I want to pray with you. Lift up your hand if you're here today and you want to respond. Okay, I'm just going to pray with you. Heavenly Father, my Lord, we just want to pray, Almighty God, for your people, Almighty God, this morning, Father, that are responding, Almighty God, and they are wanting to make a 180 turn, Almighty God, this morning. They want to respond to your call of salvation. They want to respond to your call of mission. My Heavenly Father, we know that you do not turn away those who come to you, Almighty God. So, Father, we give them to you this morning. We pray, Almighty God, that, Father, the veil is torn, Almighty God. They can see it as it is when it comes to the matter of mission with you. We pray that you open up their eyes. We pray that you open up their hearts. We pray that, my Lord, you may put a fire in their bones, Almighty God, that, Father, they will not be able to keep quiet about your mission. They will not be able to keep quiet about your message, Lord Jesus. Father, set them ablaze in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Father. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your provision. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are not on our own. We are not alone. We glorify your name, Lord Jesus, and we pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.